Professor Steve Ellen is the head of emergency psychiatry at the Alfred Hospital, and I hope he has some ideas. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Lindy.
You're sort of smiling. That's a good sign.
It is. It is. You know, it's such a big and broad question, so I'm smiling because I'll probably just make a complete mess of it.
You have no answers to give us. If you can't help us, then we're all doomed. And there is a feeling. There's a feel. I was on Facebook the other day, in fact, a day or so ago, and a girlfriend of mine had put up, do you ever get the feeling that the earth is trying to shake us off?
Yeah, look, it's not unreasonable at all. We've had such a horror summer in Australia, but also all over the world, that I think people do get that sense that this is never going to end. And there is this sort of, you know, people start using words like Armageddon and the end, and people are talking about that sort of thing. And I think that's a theme throughout history, you know, so I don't think it's that unusual is the first thing I'd say. I think we see similar things in all sorts of eras. And I suspect part of the problem at the moment is we've had such a good run. You know, we came out of, you know, in the first half of the century, we had wars, then we had the Cold War. And we've pretty much had, you know, we've had a pretty dream run this current generation. But you still see flavours of it. Like the last big time I saw was probably Y2K bug. Mm-hmm. You know, for about 18 months, people started talking about all sorts of disaster scenarios. And that flavour, and of course, it ended up fizzling and being nothing. And the current sort of mood has that feel, except I think in many ways it's getting worse because there is genuine horror and disaster dating back to the last tsunami and you know, events going everywhere, earthquakes everywhere. And it is sort of unknown territory for us in some ways, this level of sort of disaster, I suspect.
What is it then we should or should not be doing about it? Because I think that the bets are off now. Because we can see so much firsthand as something is unfolding, watching what happened on Friday afternoon felt like watching, you know, 2012 or something. It just felt like, I can't believe this is not reality. This is just some movie that James Cameron's put together. Now we can witness that. We can see deeply into the eyes of somebody who has lost everything. That wasn't part of the deal before. And I don't think we truly understand the psychological effect of that upon us.
No, the unique thing now is the media coverage. The unique thing is you see it as it's coming. Now, I noticed in myself that feeling. What about the feeling like a day or so ago, I'm trying to think when it was, when they said another tsunami is heading towards Japan and it's going to hit in about 5 or 10 minutes. And I was in the car with my son. And, that's a much different feeling than when you hear on the news that 3 days ago an earthquake hit and the first pictures are coming out. It's past tense.
Yeah.
And because you're always getting answers at that stage then, you know, 10 years ago, the answers came with the disaster. So this is what happened and this is how the authorities responded and this is how it's going so far. Whereas now there's this sense of unknown and there's that sense that people are dying as I'm listening.
Yes.
And it is unique and I think it is more surprising. But having said that, I think there is a lot you can do.
Like what?
Well, I think first up, you do have to limit yourself. You have to be sensible about how much you take in and you have to avoid getting stuck in front of the TV. Now, look, fair enough in the first 12 hours. We were all like that. You know, I was up till midnight longer and the first thing I did when I got up in the morning was turn on the TV. But I think you have to be sensible after that and you have to, like anything, you have to balance what you're taking in and balance other aspects of your life. I think that's the first thing. And I'll come back to this, but I think that's especially important for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the second thing you do is you try and turn your fear and worry into something constructive. And that's why I think things like when you give money, I've got a mental
donate. Body,
the donating money and the big appeals I was after.
Yeah.
You know, they're fantastic because it allows you to turn your fear and anxiety into something constructive. I think you've got to, another thing you've got to do is try and get good quality information. Because as we all know, at a time like this, you know, the media is a really broad animal and there's a lot of fantastic and reliable information and there's a lot of nonsense as well. So you've got to be pretty sensible and make sure you tune into the nonsense and actually get the facts. And, you know, like earlier on, especially with things like the nuclear issue, you know, there's been such a broad range of opinions on that. And some of them have been very smart and sensible and balanced opinions. And some of them have been overblown by people who, you know, clearly don't know that much about
or perhaps have a vested interest in promoting it one way or the other.
Sure.
Whether they believe or not in the continuance of nuclear power. So you've got to sort of take that
Absolutely.
With a grain of salt as well.
Yeah. And also not only a vested interest with respect to the argument, but a vested interest with respect to trying to grab attention. And, you know, a lot of the shows that are covering it naturally are trying to, they're fighting for ratings.
Yes.
Commercial enterprises, and naturally they are. So, you know, you've got to take it all with a grain of salt.
There's more sort of trumpeting of it, really, isn't
there? Absolutely.
And using it for those kinds of ends rather than purely factual reporting. Sharon sent a text, Steve, that says, these disasters make me feel lucky to live in Melbourne, though, and appreciate what you have. So perhaps there's an opportunity in it as well.
That's a really interesting point. I was actually asking some of my, just out of interest, I was asking some of my patients in outpatients today about what effect they thought that the disaster had on them. And a number of people, especially a couple, two in particular came to mind who had depression, and both said, it actually makes me feel, it actually puts, changes my perspective and makes me feel slightly better about the situation I'm in. So it's not all negative. And I again found that same thing with my own son. You know, a lot of his usual complaints, you know, I found there's an element of perspective about, oh, let's stop worrying about getting a new skateboard and let's start thinking about other things. And so there are good things that come out of it too, I agree.
There's also a guilt, I think, in associated with the benefits of living in somewhere like Melbourne, living in somewhere like Australia. Because there were times over the weekend, and it was a long weekend, I didn't work on Monday, and so I was sort of going about my general relaxing business. And then, you know, sort of every little bit of time later, say an hour or so, I'd be not think about anything, and then suddenly go, oh my God, Japan. I feel really bad that I haven't been thinking about you for the past hour. That's terrible. I need to be involved in some way, even if it's just giving you my attention. I mean, do I need treatment? I think I might. That's kind of.
I didn't bring my couch with me. What a shame. I think there's a lot of truth in what you say because it's such a mixed bag of emotions, and that is really what you're tapping into. I think is the concept of grief. You know, when we grieve, we go through this roller coaster of emotions, and people talk about you feel at various times sadness, anger, denial, bargaining. If only I did this. And one of the key things about it is that it is like an emotional roller coaster. So it's not like you're in one emotional state for a while. You feel like you're going up and down all over the place. And people say that after a death of a loved one or after any big trauma, that they just feel they've got no stability. It just feels that, you know, they're bouncing around like a sort of a, you know, a ball in a ping pong machine,
yes.
Ping pong table or in a,
yes.
You know, whatever.
A text that says, talking of trying to find things to do, Lindy, we can find ways to assist without dwelling on the spectacle. The students at Keilor Downs College are making cupcakes to sell at a lunch to raise funds. That's from Tim, one of the teachers there. So it's kind of funneling your grief or funneling disappointment's not the right word, funneling the concern that you have into something constructive.
True. But it's harder when it's overseas, I think. See, when we had the bushfires, we saw a lot of that in Melbourne. I saw a lot of communities doing things like making artwork and doing things that they could do from a distance to show their support for the community. It's sort of harder when it's international.
That's true. And I guess you kind of have to almost do that through other aid agencies. You know, they are there on our behalf and they, of course, need our money and support to stay there. But yeah, it's we're a couple of steps away from it.
Mm.
Professor Steve Eleanor is with me, the head of emergency psychiatry at the Alfred. And before I let you go, Steve, kids, what should we be doing with our kids with all of the things that are going on?
Yeah, kids are very important in this sort of situation because the kids, you know, have more access to media than we do these days through things like Facebook and internet and YouTube, where they have all sorts of clips of the disasters. And so I think you have to have you have to keep an eye on them. Now, most kids will take it in their stride because they're pretty used to a lot of this stuff, but it can really frighten kids. It can give them that sense that that the world isn't a safe place and that their future's dangerous. So you've got to keep them informed, but you do have to limit their exposure for them and you have to, you know, stop it at some stage.
Dragging them away or whilst they're watching it, explaining it to them and trying to give them as much information as possible?
I reckon you've got to tell them yourself in your own words is the best. You can't stop them from watching television and the computers, obviously, but you can limit it and you can make sure you use your own words and explain to them what's going on. And the best way to get a feel for what they're doing, which we constantly forget with kids, is just to ask them questions. Ask them things like, are you scared?
Yeah.
And are you talking about this with your friends?
Yeah.
And what do your friends think and what do you think? That sort of stuff. And you've got to reassure them. You've got to reassure them that disasters have been going on throughout history. This is going back since point zero and this is a part of living in the world and we look after each other. And I think another really important thing on that topic is you can't use them to express your own fears.
Mm.
So you've got to save your own fears for other adults and with kids limit it. So when you say to them, you say, yeah, I'm scared too, but look, I've seen this sort of stuff a lot of times in my life.
That's good. Be a filter.
Yeah, and I know we'll get through it and I know that, you know, the governments and everyone will look after it and, you know, we'll donate, yada, yada, you know, all that sort of stuff and bring them on board with the sense that these things happen, but we're in control and you're safe.
Professor Steve Allen, the head of emergency psychiatry at the Alfred, thank you so much for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
I do feel better.